Good morning, everyone. It's Candace. Today's date is September 19th. Today, my guest is John Gilmore. Good morning, John.
Hi, Candace.
Hey, listen, you were on Facebook. I was checking out your Facebook page, and this caught my attention, and it's really quite awesome. I want to thank you for everything you do. You are activist over there in New York State. So your Facebook post said, New York, fighting back. File federal and state discrimination complaints. More info. Let's inundate them. No lawyer needed. And you say, we are in unprecedented times in New York. 26,000 students are losing their right to an education because Governor Cuomo and a majority of our legislators choose to no longer tolerate the religious beliefs of those student families. There were no public hearings on the law, no discussion on the issues, no consideration of fundamental rights or even public health policy, just media-driven hysteria and political corruption, both fueled by massive amounts of money from the drug industry and a large portion of religious bigotry as well. There are several lawsuits challenging the expulsion of our children, but there are also actions you as an individual can and should take to challenge this gross violation of our children's human rights. Now, before I go on, John, I just want to clarify, this is all a reaction to the laws that were passed in New York to keep people home from school that weren't fully vaccinated with the CDC schedule, correct?
That's right. That's correct.
Okay, let me go on. Several state and federal laws allow for filing complaints based on discrimination. You don't need a lawyer to file a complaint, but it would probably help. It doesn't cost anything to file except some of your time. And preparing the complaints with your newly homeschooled children could be an interesting lesson for them and you. We encourage you to file each of these three complaints described below. Hopefully, there will be three complaints filed for all 26,000 students whose rights have been violated. We have no idea how successfully these complaints will be. No one does. We're in uncharted waters. But the complaints, especially the federal complaints, if there are enough of them, could lead to investigation and stimulate some helpful action. File a religious discrimination complaint under the New York Dignity for All Students Act. If your child is forced to leave school, file a complaint under the Dignity for All Students Act, DASA. The Dignity for All Students Act prohibits discrimination against students by school, school personnel, and other students for a wide range of protected categories, including religion and religious practices. See more info about the Dignity for All Students Act here, and then you give us a link. Procedures for filing a complaint to New York State Education Department can be found here, and a link. Many school districts have their own DASA complaint form. Inquire with your superintendent's office. If you value the information advocacy the Autism Action Network provides you, please make it possible for us to keep doing so by donating to our one fundraiser of the year here. So we can go to autismactionnetwork.org, John?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. So community walk to be held on Sunday, October 20th in Belmont Lake State Park in Babylon, New York. And I'm not going to go on, but that's kind of the gist of it.
Right.
So a disability discrimination complaint with the U.S. Department of Education. And an education discrimination complaint. Okay, there you go. So I think this is a wonderful action for parents to take. And I think it crosses the board in all states. And Thomas Jefferson said that the most valued part of our First Amendment is our right to philosophical belief. So this is our constitutional right. Our First Amendment to not be injected against our will and to be able to go to school. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a violation of all kinds of rights. You know, it's a violation of our religious liberties. I think you could make an argument that it's a due process violation. I think it's a violation of our right to speech in certain ways. And it kind of goes beyond the Constitution into just sort of like fundamental human rights, you know, that you could say are in English common law going back, you know, 1,000 years, But I think it transcends that as well. The idea that a group of lawmakers who have no comprehension of the issues, who received significant financial benefits to a industry that wants to use the power of the state to compel people to use their product, whether it's a vaccine or any product, somehow that just cannot be tolerated. You know, it's sort of the what we have going on here, and this word keeps on coming up, okay? And that's fascism. But we in the world of vaccines, we have moved into the realm of medical fascism, right? And I'm not using that lightly. Fascism is a system of government where basically you have corporations and government working together and controlling the media to sort of achieve their goals at the expense of everybody else's interests and their legal rights, okay? That's fascism, and that's exactly what we have in New York and California right now when it comes to, and I guess Maine as well, and a couple other states when it comes to the world of vaccines.
Is that Maine, Mississippi, and West Virginia?
Those are the five, yep. Five is it? Yeah, one, two, three, four, five, yep.
And I'd like to add to that.
Yeah.
Full informed consent and the Nuremberg Code.
Right, right.
Is that one and the same?
Well, informed consent, I think, you know, I'm not an expert on that, but the need for informed consent comes from all kinds of different directions. I mean, you know, if you, you know, I got to check on this because once upon a time, now this is really interesting, okay? Once upon a time, the American Academy of Pediatrics used to have an ethics code for pediatricians on their website, right? Well, it's gone now. I've tried to find it any number of times, right? And one of the things that they said in there is that a pediatrician should never, ever, ever do anything to a patient without informed consent and for a minor child without the informed consent of the parent. Clearly, they don't believe in that anymore. You know, the whole
Well, they
idea
work
behind-
for they work for the industry. I mean, it's clear.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, they've really, I mean, they're basically, pediatrics isn't really a medical profession anymore. It's really a, it's the marketing face of the vaccine industry. I recall a study, I wish I had a copy of it, but I recall a study from a while ago that said at the time that 80% of pediatricians' billings came from giving vaccines. 80%.
Yeah.
So,
and they're getting kickbacks from the insurance companies called commissions for every, like if they have 100% compliance in their pediatric practice and every child is fully vaccinated, they can make up to $700,000 a year in bonuses and commissions.
I think, yes, it's like sometimes it's greater than all their other income combined. You know, and one thing that's going on here in New York, and I'm sure this is going on all over the country, is that in the last couple of years, almost all the independent pediatric practices have been bought up by a few enormous corporations. And so the independent doctor exercising their own judgment, working for themselves, is gone. They're all employees of large corporations now. And, you know, one of the things that we're running into as a consequence of this is they kick out all the kids who aren't vaccinating. Because the way it works in New York, and I think this is true elsewhere, is that they have to have a certain percentage of all the kids in their practice at a certain level of vaccination to get that bonus that you were just talking about, right? And if they're like just shy of it, you know, they don't get it. It's all or nothing. You either make it to the across the finish line and you get the $700,000, or you don't make it across the finish line and you don't get a penny, right? And since these corporations are all about the money and nothing else but the money, of course, they're not going to allow any children in their practices that aren't fully vaccinated. And so they've just been kicked out wholesale. My my son was just kicked out of his practice in June, right? Along with many, many others. It just seems like every non-vaccinated kid I know of in New York who was seeing a pediatrician got kicked out. So at least seeing a pediatrician that was not an independent pediatric practitioner. So, you know, to add to that sort of discussion of fascism that includes government, that includes corporations, that includes the media, it also includes the professional organizations like the AAP and the AMA, as well as in part of their sort of one unitary way of approaching all this.
Yes, and now we have county health going through the educational files of our students here in California, and we thought we had stopped them, but they continued on with their Santa Barbara pilot program to go through the files of students to find out who the doctors were that were writing the medical exemptions. So now we have SB 276, which interferes with the doctor-patient relationship. Doctors that are writing medical exemptions are taken to task, they're investigated, and they could very well lose their license if they write, say, more than five. It triggers an investigation.
Well, you know, that's been a standard operating practice here in New York ever since I can remember. One of the issues that we could never get the legislators to address at all. I mean, you know, just to be back up a little bit. I mean, one big difference, but there's big differences between what happened in New York and California. In California, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was an exemption for the kids with IEPs, right?
That's right.
We don't have that in New York, okay? There was, a fairly long period of time before they implemented it, right? We passed our law here on June 13th. On June 28th, people were getting letters saying their kids could not come back to school.
Wow.
It was that quick, yeah, right? And basically, as of tomorrow, pretty much every kid in public school in New York will be kicked out, and by October 7th, all the kids in New York City will be kicked out of school. And, it's creating total chaos because they didn't give the schools anywhere near enough time to get prepared. Every school district is doing something different. They got no clear guidance. The IEP world is going to be a total disaster because, you know, I hate to give Senator Pan any credit, and it probably wasn't him who deserves the credit, but probably some pharma lobbyist who actually wrote SB 277. But I think what they realized with California and Maine is that there was no way to get around federal IDEA law as far as special education goes. And the only real way to get to do it was basically to carve out that exemption for the IEP kids. Because federal law says, yeah, you can kick the kid out of school, but if you kick him out of school, you still have to provide the services in the IEP to the kid at home, right? Which is vastly more expensive, right, than giving it to the kid at school, right? Well, I don't even think our legislators in New York even thought about that, right?
Well, can you take action on that?
Or
they're just going to get buried in cost?
It's going to be chaos here, right? It already is. It's already starting, right? And the schools are just sort of finding out how big of a mess this is going to be for them, right? And we saw it coming, right? But again, it's just been a very little amount of time, and the term I've used to describe it is just the Titanic has to hit the iceberg, right? And the Titanic is like the ice is just starting to carve through the hull here, right? And it's going to sink pretty soon once the school districts realize that they're going to have to be providing services at home for, I would estimate, at least 10,000 kids with IEPs. No one has a statistic. I'm sure the state does somewhere, but I'm guessing probably, and this might be true in California as well, I'm not sure, I'm guessing between a quarter to a half of all the kids who had medical or religious exemptions in New York also have IEPs. So,
wow.
So we're probably talking anywhere from 7 to 13,000 kids. So we'll see, you know.
Well, there's a couple other points I want to bring up. Here in California, we have Adam Schiff.
Right.
He's down in L.A. He's one of those cabal people.
He sure is.
And he had written a letter to Facebook asking them to censor us.
Right.
So that, and you know, John, they're fearing all these people. You know, I think because the pharmaceutical companies pretty much own the media. Their commercials are disguised as news.
or they work it into
one
the
point
story.
To make.
You know, they have product placement stories in the actual programs.
Right.
Now, you know.
And it's not going to be long until the adult mandates are here. I mean, that was their plan for 2020.
Right.
So tell me about due process. What do you mean by that? I mean, when you said religious liberty, due process, our speech, all these things are affected. So,
well, you know, I mean, basically, I don't think, you know, due process means that if you're given some sort of punishment by the state, that you have to get, there has to be due process, you know, a legal recognized process before the punishment is inflicted, and I don't think anywhere near the level of due process has been happened with what's happened in New York. You know, we didn't even have a public hearing of any kind.
Yeah, I read that.
You know, on top of that, we have the rules of the assembly. And the rules of the assembly is that a bill has to go to a committee. It has to get voted out of the committee. And then it goes to the floor, and it's voted on the floor. I mean, that's kind of a simple version of it, right? But with our bill, okay, our Senate Health Committee never voted on the bill, okay? They just voted on it on the floor. And they voted on it on the floor in a closed session. They actually voted on it behind locked doors. In the assembly, there's a video that was going around. A colleague of mine, Michael Smith, got this video of what happened in the Assembly Health Committee. And the Assembly Health Committee, they took a vote, and it was a tie, 13-13. And the rules of the assembly are if you have a tie vote in the committee, the bill's dead. A bill must have a majority of the votes in a committee to get out of the committee and go further for a vote, right? They didn't have that, right? So it should have been dead. But the Speaker of the Assembly was sitting right there in the committee meeting, okay, he is the absolute boss of the Assembly. He gets what he wants, right? And he leans over, whispers to the committee chair, and the committee chair comes up and makes some sort of pompous speech about the will of the Assembly is to have a floor vote on it. And then the speaker, you can see on this video, he like motions for the junior member of the Assembly Health Committee to come over to him. And he comes on over and he whispers in his ear, and the guy goes back to his seat and turns around and changes his vote. So the 13-13 vote that should have killed the bill became a 14-12 vote, which allowed it to go to the floor. And then once it got to the floor, we know serious arms are being twisted, because we knew that if everybody who said they were going to vote against it voted against it, we'd still be able to kill it on the floor. But we had about 10 Democrats flip on us, you know, who had, people had told us, I'm voting no, and then they turned around and voted yes. Which gets back to the whole idea of due process. You know, what is the point of having the rules of a legislative body to make laws for the state if the legislative body doesn't follow their own rules?
Yeah. Well, it looks like we have some things to chew on here and some action that we can take. Now, did you put any of these links on your autismactionnetwork.org page?
Yes, it is. It's there.
Your website?
It's on the action alerts over on the side,
and
if anyone wants to do that.
Yeah, my point is everyone across the country can do this in Maine, Mississippi, West Virginia, California, and
That's
New
right.
York. This is something that all of us can participate in.
Right. Yeah.
I apologize for my barking dog. The mailman's here.
Well, you know, that's probably the high point of your dog's day, right?
I know it is. And he parks in front of my house, so they'll sit there for a half hour and bark.
Oh, boy. Sounds like
yeah.
a lot of fun.
And then I open the door and let him go out, and they don't bother the mailman.
Well, you know, not so exciting.
But anyway, this is awesome. I'm so thrilled with the Autism Action Network, and all of us should be. I mean, all of us should be participating, and you have calls for action there, and so there's all kinds of things we can do, and it looks like, you know, you've given us something that we could go after, and I really appreciate that because we get so disheartened.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because some of our lawyers here pointed this out. Kim Mack Rosenberg, who has been an activist in this movement for a very long time, she came up with the argument that the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, okay, Section 504. So if you're familiar with, you know, special education, people have like 504 plans where they have to have some sort of accommodation in school. It's sort of not as it's for students who quite aren't as impacted enough that they need an IEP, but they do need some sort of accommodation.
Yeah, we have that here.
Right, and you have the federal law, right? And it was modified in 1990, okay? And why it was modified was really important because in 1990, that was after basically AIDS hit. And there were children with AIDS in schools and teachers refusing to educate them and so on and so forth because they were afraid of getting AIDS from the kid. And, you know, unless they basically had sex with a kid, you know, they weren't going to get AIDS, right? And so this got incorporated into the law. And it is illegal for a school to deny an education to a child because they are afraid they're going to get a disease or illness from the child.
Cool.
That's illegal, okay? And that's based on federal law. So if it's illegal in New York, it's illegal in California and Mississippi and West Virginia and Maine as well, right? So this is something we really have to explore, okay? Because if it is illegal to provide an education to my child because they are afraid that they're going to spread a disease, it is also they can refuse an education to my kid. They can also refuse an education to a kid who has HIV or a kid who has hepatitis B or any other sort of disease, right? I mean, it's so bizarre. I mean, or measles. I mean, in New York, you can have an active case of hepatitis B and go to school in New York, but if you haven't had the hepatitis B vaccine, you can't. Go figure that out. You know?
Yeah. That was another point that I read. Somebody covered that already. But, you know, this is just awesome. So let's all go to autismactionnetwork.org and try to take action. Let's take action. Let's not try. Let's get it done so we can turn these laws around. You know, this is industry coming after our kids.
Sure are.
And we need to stop them. And our legislators are paid very well. They've, you know, to follow their direction. You know, it was clear during SB 277 when the pharma lobbyists lined the front row of the hearing room, and they were even sliding out the side doors. Well, what about the people that you know, that house belongs to? It belongs to us. What if we tried to slide through the side door? You know, we were kicked out of there if our baby cried.
Right.
The legislators were rolling their eyes at us.
Right.
And they did some underhanded stuff up at Sacramento for SB 276. Well, I believe they closed the doors and took a vote, you know.
Well, you know, I think you brought up a really important observation there, Candace, because you saw that in California, and we saw that in Albany, which is the capital of New York, right? And there's my other phone. So let me turn that off. Sorry.
No problem.
You know, we had a lot of people coming from all over the state going up to the legislative office building where all the legislators have their offices, right? And, you know, we got a diverse state, right? We had all kinds of people from every ethnic group, from every racial group who's going. We had Amish people showing up. I mean, everybody was showing up, right? And you could just tell that they felt so violated that the peasants were in their space, you know,
yep.
and telling them how they thought we should be governed. It, you know, and there was just so many comments that I got that made it clear that, no, laws are made by legislators working with the lobbyists. That's who makes laws. Okay? You people don't belong here.
Yep.
I could have made it clear.
And it's funny, you know, you walk in the Capitol building and you could smell the money. You could smell it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's our money. That's not their money.
That's
we
right.
We have every right to be there.
We do. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's disgusting in the context of our issue, but it shows that there's a far bigger, more profound problem going on, right? And it's you know, a lot of it just basically boils down to pervasive corruption.
Yes.
Just pervasive corruption, okay? They're there to deliver for those who have lots of money.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what they want. If they pay enough, they're going to get it. That's
and
kind of the mentality.
Morally, 70 vaccines by the time you're 18, by the time you finish high school. Morally, I mean, I woke up the next day just dumbfounded that somebody could morally make that decision to give somebody else's child 70 vaccines.
Well, you know, I think it points out something. I've been lobbying for 18 years now, and it's taken me a long time to get to the opinion I have now, but I've come to the conclusion that a very large number of elected officials are sociopaths.
Yeah.
You know, they can be intelligent, they can even be charming, and so on and so forth, but they only calculate any question about what is the best option for me here. And that's it, you know.
Yeah.
There's no other calculation, right? And that's what sociopaths do. Every decision is based on like, what should I do here that's to my best advantage? You know? And I don't. There's no other way to explain how they behave or how they conduct themselves.
Well, all I can say is we have to vote them out, and we have to take
we
action
do.
Against
yeah.
them, and
we
you
are.
Know.
Yeah.
We tried with SB 277 RICO because it is organized crime. And we went up against them, and of course the judge gave us a hard time, sent us away, wouldn't respond.
Right.
And then we had to come up with more money, and we ran out of money. But we're gearing up. We have a lot more people now. And these people are coming out of the woodwork, parents that weren't in our fight during SB 277.
Right.
And so I'm very excited that we've got more and more people on board when, you know, our parental rights are under assault, our basic human rights are under assault, and that's not even counting, you know, the CPS people that might come to your door if you're not vaccinating. You know, I don't know that that's true, but I know that they've taken the children from the hospital on the first day of life that don't vaccinate, and we have Health Freedom Idaho covering that. So, we are organizing and we're gearing up. So, John, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add today?
No, just keep on doing the work you're doing, Candace. It's good work. And everybody out there really needs to get involved and get active and get on the phone and get your state capital and throw out the people who are trying to do bad things to your families.
Yeah, and, you know, okay, so we've got discrimination. We have violation of faith under the 504, what, the 1973 Rehab Act.
Right.
We have
violation of the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Well, let's talk about that.
Well, that's the religious discrimination.
Okay.
I'll give you a perfect example of that. You know, there's a large Amish population in New York, and almost none of the Amish vaccinate, right? There's all kinds. They publish the vaccination rates at the schools here in New York, and you can just go down a list, and it's pretty easy to find the Amish schools because there's zero vaccinated kids, right? And and the Amish don't do this because they have religious beliefs opposed to it, right? So, you know, basically in New York, they're going to force the entire Amish population here to violate their beliefs. And in the process, they're basically going to shut down every Amish school in New York. Okay? You know, I mean, this is just amazing. I mean, the Amish came to America to flee religious persecution in Germany. And they've been here for almost 300 years. You know, and basically, the Amish live the way they want to live. They leave other people alone, and they've been allowed to live their life, see fit according to the way they perceive their God wants them to live. And that hasn't been a problem in the United States for 300 years. But now, because a bunch of sociopaths in Albany sold out to the drug companies, they're going to basically make it impossible to be Amish in the state of New York, you know. And if that isn't a violation of religious liberty, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
So.
I'm being interviewed today by McAllister TV, and we're going to talk about the aborted fetal tissue in vaccines,
right,
and how that dovetails into, she reports on, you know, the new meat, the diploid cells that are being harvested for food. We're going to talk about that because I think this dovetails right into that toxic things that are being mandated for our families. And so keep a lookout for that on YouTube, and I'll share it around.
Okay, I will.
It's kind of a bigger picture kind of thing.
Sure. I mean, our issues, they're all intertwined, you know?
Yeah, it's a big picture, and this is just part of it. It goes along with the chemtrails, and, you know, in my opinion, and from what I've learned in that rabbit hole, you know, autism was intentional. So I won't stop digging, and I'll keep learning and talking about it, and that's what everybody needs to do. I mean, I'm not going to tell people what to do, but... I mean, that's what I'm doing, and I surely appreciate your work, John.
Well, I appreciate your work too, Candace. So.
Well, I can't wait to see you again at Autism One.
All right,
and,
maybe before.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if you come out to California. I have a prize for you.
Great.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot.
You be well, John. Thank you so much for your time today. AutismActionNetwork.org. Be well.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.